You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the Punt Podcast, looking ahead to the midweek football. Plenty of European action to get stuck into with matches in the UEFA Champions League and the UEFA Europa League. We're going to concentrate on the English sides in action. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to preview the matches is Mr. Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm well. I'm very well, Mark Walton. Good week for the golf podcast, where we had a winner, so I'm happy about that. Looking forward to the Ryder Cup this week as well. So yeah, my tail is up at the moment, Mr. Walton, and I'm looking forward to getting stuck into this midweek European football and the Ryder Cup looming on Friday. And anyone that follows all the podcasts will know I love my golf and the NFL. So yeah, it's good at the moment.
Mm.
Sport's good.
Yeah, you got the football Tuesday to Thursday, and then get stuck into the Ryder Cup on Friday. What more do you want?
Nothing. I'm satisfied.
Good. Yeah, obviously, interesting week of Champions League football. We'll get stuck into that now. The first game we're going to look at is the Tuesday night game at 7:45 with Tottenham Hotspur travelling to CSKA Moscow. CSKA are 11-5. The draw 11-5. Tottenham are 7-5. Spurs didn't have the best of results at Wembley in their first Champions League game. They lost to Monaco. Doing pretty well in the league, though. Second in the Premier League. They've won their last four games, domestically, if you like. Can they bounce back to form in Europe?
I think they've got to, haven't they, really? You think that having lost that game at Wembley to Monaco, it's vital they pick up at least a point on the road in Russia this midweek. Are we going with CSKA Moscow, then?
Yeah. I'm not buying this CSKA Moscow.
You just want to kill all the football hipsters, don't you?
I do.
This is why it's CSKA Moscow. Well, I've been calling it CSKA Moscow for the best part of 25 years, Sonny. So that's what I'm going with. CSKA Moscow here. That's what we're going with.
The idea is that in Moscow, they actually say CSKA. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. But that's just how language works, isn't it? They interpret words differently. And we interpret words differently, and then we say them in our language and they say them in their language. And that's why it's always been CSKA Moscow to me. And I'm against the football hipsters. I'm going with CSKA Moscow and not CSKA here, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do it for all European teams, or do the football hipsters do it? Would you say Bayern Munich, or would you say Bayern Munich?
I'd say Bayern Munich, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
But I must admit, I do sometimes slip into football hipster mode without realizing.
Yeah.
And then I tell myself off and say, well, you've never said it like that before. But on this occasion, we'll go with CSKA Moscow. And they're not that good, are they, anymore? You look at how they used to perform. I mean, it's a long time since they've won the league now. 2013, I think, was the last time they won the league title in Russia. After they reached the knockout stages in this competition back in 2011-2012, they failed to progress past the group stages. They've only won three of their 19 games, or last 19 games in this competition. That dates back a few years now. They lost 12 of those. So Tottenham will expect to go there and win, I think. I think Mauricio Pochettino will demand a better performance than the one they produced against Monaco, where they were slightly unfortunate. I mean, they had a lot of possession in that game, a lot of pressure. I think they had 11 corners in that match against Monaco, and Monaco didn't have one single corner, which just goes to, I suppose, indicate how Spurs were a little bit unfortunate to lose that game. And I'm bandwagon jumping here as well, Mr. Walton, because okay, Spurs do have a few notable injuries. Moussa Sissoko was taken off against Middlesbrough due to concussion, so I wouldn't think he would start in this game. We all know Harry Kane is out with an ankle injury, and he's got a scan later in the week to determine the extent of that problem. They were without Eric Dier, Danny Rose and Moussa Dembele for the win at Middlesbrough, but Dier and Rose could return in this game, which would be a huge boost for Spurs. But the man at the moment is Heung-min Son, isn't it? He looks absolutely fantastic. I mean, he scored four times in three appearances this season, only scored four times in the whole of last season. I just made 13 Premier League starts for Spurs last season following his move from Bayer Leverkusen. And I think the enhanced odds, Heung-min Son to score and Tottenham to win, 7-2, enhanced to 5-1, looks attractive to me. Always been a player with an immense amount of potential. And I think he was very frustrated last season. And he said to Pochettino, I want to leave the club. But Pochettino knew how good he was and convinced him to stay. And that decision that Pochettino made to try and change Heung-min Son's mind has been vindicated in the early part of the season. So having scored 4-3, I like the enhanced odds offer of Heung-min Son to score and Tottenham to win, enhanced to 5-1. And Heung-min Son, just to score in the game, looks a decent bet as well here at 9-4. And CSK Moscow always concede as well. In each of their last 23 Champions League matches, they've conceded. That's a run going all the way back to 2011 in the competition, where they kept clean sheets in successive matches against Trabzonspor. So they will concede, and I think if they do concede, with the absence of Harry Kane, Heung-min Son is the man that's going to step up and take the bull by the horns.
All right, yeah, I agree. He's had a fantastic start to the season. Did score in the Europa League for Spurs as well last year, so has history in European competition for them. So leaning towards Spurs then to beat CSK Moscow and Heung-min Son to be the star of the show. Let's move on to the other game that we're going to look at on Tuesday night. Leicester against Porto, 7:45 kickoff at the King Power, the first Champions League game at the King Power, Dave. 13-10 for Leicester, draw 11-5, Porto 12-5. Leicester very impressive in their first Champions League game. They couldn't have asked for a better start to the competition, winning 3-0 away at Club Bruges. Porto is going to be a sterner test than Bruges, you'd imagine, but can they keep the feel-good momentum going and the feeling at the King Power?
Yes,
they were thrashed at the weekend.
Yeah, they were thrashed at the weekend. It was a bit embarrassing, really, that first half performance against Manchester United at Old Trafford. I watched that game and they got caught out three times from corners, and the one that Marcus Rashford slotted in where Daley Blind found Juan Mata inside the six-yard box with a straight pass was incredible, really. And I think that this is, even though it's a welcome distraction, it's a definite distraction for Leicester, and they're not performing in the league as they did last season. It was folly to ever expect that. That was just an anomaly, wasn't it? An outlier last year for them to win the title. And I'd have expected them to start slightly better in the league. And I mean, they need to win this game to avoid three successive losses, having been beaten by Chelsea in the EFL Cup last Tuesday as well. I think they will. I think they'll win this game. And the main reason, I think, is because Riyad Mahrez is going to perform better in the Champions League this season than he is in the Premier League. I get the feeling with Mahrez, he's had that unbelievable season with Leicester. They've won the Premier League title. N'Golo Conte's moved. Jamie Vardy had the opportunity, if he wished to, move to Arsenal. And Riyad Mahrez has sort of not been left behind, but he will want to move to a huge European club, and the Champions League is the best way for him to advertise his credentials, really. It's almost it's a shot window for Riyad Mahrez, and we saw that in that game against Club Bruges. He had three shots on goal and two of them went in. He was withdrawn at the weekend against Manchester United after a disappointing opening 45 minutes along with Jamie Vardy. And Claudio Ranieri has spoken openly about that and said that he took those two players off to save them for this game. Riyad Mahrez will produce in the Champions League this season. I think he's a cracking bet to score in this game. He's part of the enhanced odds offer again. I'm not just going to go through this and just back all the enhanced odds offers. And I'm not going to do that in every match. But I do think the Mahrez to score and Leicester to win enhanced from 3-1 to 4-1 is good here. And he's 19-10. To score in the game. Porto have conceded 11 goals and scored none in their last three visits to England. They've got an horrific record away from home against English clubs. They've never won a competitive away game against an English side, which is strange. And there have been a few as well. 17 times they've faced English clubs in European competition away from home. They've lost 15 of them. Must be something in that. Drawn just two. and without a win in their last three Champions League games as well. Porto, since they won the competition, I think it was back in 2004, I think, they've not been that good in this tournament. And I think Leicester are suited to Champions League football as well. We've talked about this on the podcast before. I think we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago when they beat Club Brugge, that they're perfectly suited to Champions League football, the way they can absorb the pressure and then hit teams on the counter-attack. So I'm going for Leicester to win this game. I think they're a good price to win it as well against Porto. As you mentioned, I think the atmosphere will be electric inside the King Power. 13-10 to win, and I love Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win, which is enhanced to 4-1. I'd be disappointed if we didn't get one of those two enhancements in, either Leicester or Spurs, with Heung-Min Son and Riyad Mahrez running for us.
All right, good stuff. Just going back to that start as well, Dave. Porto have never won away in England. That's remarkable. I remember scenes of Mourinho running down the touchline against Manchester United at Old Trafford when he really announced himself as the next big manager, really, and they didn't win that game either.
No, it's strange, isn't it? Because it's a good job you brought that up, because I was thinking, I had that image in my mind as well, reading that stat, and it was almost like a win, wasn't it? Because obviously they went through 3-2 on aggregate on that occasion, but yeah, they've never actually won on English soil, Porto. It's a very different Porto team now to the one that was managed by Jose Mourinho, and I think Leicester have enough about them to win this game. And remember, in Porto's opening game in the Champions League group stage, they were held at home against Copenhagen as well, or Copenhagen, one apiece. So I expect Leicester to win this game. Admittedly, their league form isn't anywhere near as good as it was last season. Only picked up 7 points from 6 games in the league this season. But I think they really are focused on this Champions League, and a lot of their big stars want to produce in this competition, especially Mahrez. I think it's Mahrez's aim to try and get a move either in the January transfer window, or what's more likely to happen is perform in the Champions League and get that move away in the summer.
Let's move on to Wednesday night's games then. We'll start with a huge game at Celtic Park. Celtic take on Manchester City. Celtic 8-1 in the betting, the draw 4-1. Man City are 4-11. Celtic going great guns in the league, unbeaten in the Scottish Premiership so far, sit top of the table there. Their first game in Europe, though, Dave, was quite frankly an embarrassment. They were thrashed 7-0 by Barcelona. I know it's no disgrace to be beaten well by Barcelona, but 7-0 is an embarrassment. City, on the other hand, top of the Premier League, won all 6 games in the Premier League. They won their first game in Europe pretty impressively as well against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Is 4-11 a good price here, Dave, about City?
Ooh, that is a difficult question to answer. Is it a good price? I think it will come in, but would I want to back it at 4-11? I don't know. But would I want to back Celtic at 8-1? What price would Celtic need to be to back them here? Is there a compelling enough reason to back Celtic in this game? Is 8-1 big enough? I don't think it is, really. They were hammered by Barcelona, and I expect them to be a lot tighter in this match. A naive performance, really, away from home. And I don't think Brendan Rodgers has ever got it right in Europe, really, has he? You look at his record, even when he was manager at Liverpool, it wasn't good. I think he's won just one of his 7 Champions League games. And in those 7 games, his team, either Celtic or Liverpool, have only scored 5 goals, conceding 16 in those 7 matches. So he's had trouble, no matter who he's managed, keeping it tight defensively. And Manchester City have just looked absolutely fantastic so far, haven't they? Playing with a fluency, they've got one of the best strikers in world football at the moment, with superb players supporting him in Raheem Sterling and David Silva. I know Kevin De Bruyne is going to be out for this game, which is a big loss for them, because Pep Guardiola was talking about Kevin De Bruyne as being in the top. I can't remember his exact quote, but basically he said he's almost on a par with Lionel Messi, which maybe was stretching it slightly, and he was being using a bit of hyperbole there, Pep Guardiola. But De Bruyne has looked fantastic. I think the problem you've got with Celtic is it's too easy for them in the Scottish League. You mentioned they're unbeaten. They're already 4 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership from Aberdeen, and they've played a game less than their nearest rivals as well. And it doesn't make it easy for them to get up to the speed of Champions League football, which is why they suffer in this competition. And Manchester City should win. 4-11 is probably the right price away from home at Celtic. I wouldn't want to be a backer at 4-11, but I wouldn't want to be taking bundles and bundles of cash at that price and having to pay out at the end of the 90 minutes either.
Okay. So we need to try and find a way into the game then, Dave. Enhanced odds offers, you've mentioned them in the previous two games we talked about. Let's go for the City versions in this one. Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win. That was 7-5. That's now 2-1. He's got four goals already this season, Raheem Sterling. He's playing well under the radar a little bit because Aguero's stealing all the headlines. Sergio Aguero to score, Man City to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. That was 4-1. That's now 5-1. And anybody leaning towards Celtic, how about Scott Sinclair to get a bit of revenge on Man City? Him to score and Celtic to win and both teams to score. That's a huge price at 33-1. I'd possibly lay that myself, to be honest. I can't see it happening. But yeah, any other ways in that you like, Dave?
I don't mind the Aguero to score Man City to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1 because the likelihood is that Sergio Aguero will score in the game. He's actually got back-to-back hat-tricks in the Champions League, if you include the qualifiers, Aguero, and he's got 11 in 7 this season. He has been stealing the limelight to a certain extent, Sergio Aguero, but I'm glad you mentioned Raheem Sterling because the goal that he scored at the weekend was fantastic, wasn't it? Mm. Really composed finish from Raheem Sterling. Maybe not a finish we'd have seen 12 months ago from Sterling against Swansea. And I've been very impressed with his performances under Guardiola, clearly thriving at the moment. We mentioned that, I think, on a previous podcast. Might have been last week's podcast, in fact, about Sterling. The bet that I like is the bet that I've put up in quite a few Manchester City matches. It keeps landing. It's Manchester City to win and both teams to score in the game. And it's available at 17-10. You look at those six games in the Premier League, five of them, City have won and both teams have scored. The other one, they won 4-0. And away from home, that's landed in their last four games in all competitions. And let's not forget that even though Celtic were hammered by Barcelona 7-0 at the Camp Nou, they had an opportunity to score in that game. And Moussa Dembele missed from the penalty spot. And you've got to go back to March this year for the last time Celtic failed to score at Celtic Park as well. So Manchester City, still the weakness, if there is a weakness in that team, is defensively. They're going to score goals in this game. So Manchester City to win and both teams to score, I think anything odds against on that, I think it's a reasonable price. And it's 17-10 here for that eventuality. And I maybe have a little nibble on Aguero to score and Man City to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1 because if they do win 2-0, could be 2-0 easily. And I do like 3-1 in the market as well. I think 3-1 City at 10-1 is a reasonable price here.
Mm.
Do you disagree with any of that?
I agree with it. I'm just remembering the game against Borussia Mönchengladbach when I backed Manchester City to win and both teams to score. It was the third leg of my treble. I had Norwich to win their championship game. I had Barcelona, both teams to score in that game, no, but over 2.5 goals, expecting Barcelona to do a bit of a number. And the City game was postponed, so it was running on to the next night. I was like, oh, I've just got to wait for it to land. And it didn't land.
They had a couple of opportunities, didn't they, Borussia Mönchengladbach? Yeah. And Claudio Bravo made a really good save down to his left-hand side, if I recall correctly, in that match. It's just one of those statistically that I like the look of.
Happens more often than not.
Yeah, well, it's happened in their last couple of games, admittedly both against Swansea away from home. And I think Celtic, they've got to perform better than they did against Barcelona.
Yeah.
The fans will demand that, and it will be a vitriolic atmosphere that might inspire these Celtic players. I think they can get on the. I really think they can get on the score sheet, but I still think City will win. So I like that 17-10. That's my favourite bet in this match.
Okay. Final match in the Champions League we want to look at is Arsenal against Basel. Arsenal are 4-11. The draw 4-1. Basel are 8-1. Arsenal in pretty good nick at the moment, Dave. The third in the Premier League. They got a slightly fortunate draw with PSG in the first game of the Champions League, but they looked so impressive against Chelsea at the weekend. largely because I think Chelsea are struggling a little bit, but they should be, well, I was going to say they should be making light work of Basel here, but they are top of the Swiss Super League, Dave. Am I possibly underestimating Basel here?
I don't think so. They're top of the Swiss Super League, but it's the Swiss Super League. And they are 9 from 9. They've got a goal difference of plus 22, so they will pose a minor threat to Arsenal on Wednesday night. But you're right to pinpoint that performance against Chelsea, because not only did they win that game 3-0, they won it against a team that have troubled them immensely in the past 5 or 6 years. It was a big mental hurdle that they cleared on Saturday, given how poor their record against Chelsea has been in recent times. I'm not sure Arsenal are as good as they looked on Saturday, or Chelsea are as bad as they looked on Saturday. I think it was just one of those matches where Arsenal played their absolute best. Arsenal will never play as well as that again, I don't think. And Chelsea, without John Terry, I said it on the punt on at the weekend.
Yeah.
Without John Terry, they don't have a clue defensively. David Luiz was getting pulled all over the place. David Luiz doesn't know how, when someone picks up the ball in that number 10 slot just to drop off, he charges in like a bull in a china shop, dives in, and for the third goal, I think it was, he was the problem.
Mm.
Dived in, missed the tackle, they went in behind and scored easily. So I'm not sure what if John Terry is going to be back for the weekend for Chelsea, but check the team news, because he is still vitally important for them. Basel drew at home to Ludogorets in their first game in the group, and you mentioned that draw Arsenal got away from home against PSG. I think, weirdly, that performance or that result was the catalyst for what's happened subsequently with Arsenal. Getting that point was such a huge fillip for them that they've been able to produce in the Premier League and in the EFL Cup subsequently. I don't want to bat them at such a short price, though. What were they, 4-11?
Yeah.
They should win, but again, it's a similar scenario to City. I'd look elsewhere just to get a little bit of extra value here. And the man that I'm going to focus on is Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
He, I think, will score first in this game. And that is 7-2 for him to score first. He's a beast when he's fully fit, isn't he? He really is. Quick, powerful, be a big factor in this match. 7 of the last 8 Champions League goals Arsenal have scored have been scored by either Sanchez or Olivier Giroud. And Olivier Giroud is an absentee because he was sent off in that game against PSG. So the onus will fall on Sanchez here. He's got 4 in his last 3, scored first against Hull and against Chelsea. He's one of the best players in the Premier League, and he's going to be playing in that number 9 role in this match as well. So Alexis Sanchez, 7-2 to score first, I absolutely love. Weirdly as well, I'm not going to factor this into my betting strategy here, but Basel are unbeaten away from home against English clubs in the Champions League. They've won 1 and drawn 4. So if you are thinking about taking a very short price on Arsenal, do bear that in mind. I wouldn't back Arsenal at 4-11 against many teams, in all honesty. And I'm not going to back them against a team that's 9 from 9 in their league domestically with a goal difference of plus 22. Alexis Sanchez, 7-2 to score first in the game. And if you are having a glance through the Basel goal scorers here, Seydou Doumbia is 9-1 to score first or last, 12-5 to score any time. He played fleetingly for Newcastle. I can't remember that, but he did play a few games for Newcastle, having spent the majority of his career at CSKA Moscow. He's got 6-8 for the club this season since his move. So Seydou Doumbia might be worth a look at 12-5, but I'm going with Alexis Sanchez, first goal at 7-2.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in fine form, Alexis Sanchez, at the moment.
Where would you rank him in top, in terms of Premier League players?
Premier League players?
Yeah, would it,
top, only behind Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. Ahead of Paul Pogba, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, though?
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, on the world stage, I'd say there's only probably the likes of Ronaldo, Messi, Aguero, probably in front of Sanchez at the moment. Mm. He's a real good player on his game.
Oh, really fantastic. I think a lot of last season he struggled with injury, and you could tell that he's one of those players that they've always said this about Alexis Sanchez. He will bust a gut on the practice pitch, and that often carries over onto the Premier League pitch, if you will. And sometimes he's fatigued and he doesn't know how to throttle back, just to gear back slightly, and it affects his play. But when he's on, he is really on, and at the moment he's flying. So Alexis Sanchez, 10 to 11 score in this game.
Yeah,
I mean, Arsenal at home against Basel, he should get one.
I agree. Chuck Suarez into that mix as well. Missed him out.
Yes.
He's got to be in there.
Neymar as well.
Yeah, as well.
He's not
yeah.
bad, is he?
Actually, there's quite a lot of players. He's only about 10th now. Good thing you highlighted the Basel record against English sides as well. It was a point that I was going to bring up. They haven't played, you know, they played the big English sides as well. They've played Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester United in recent years. Haven't lost to them.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? I think they've actually only lost one in 10 Champions League encounters against English sides, and that was against Manchester United at home back in November 2002. So it's strange, because you wouldn't think of Basel as a powerful European club, and they're not really, but they've just got that weird record. I'm tempted to say it's slightly coincidental, in all honesty. We'll see how they go on Wednesday night.
Okay, I was going to dangle a 19-10 sized carrot of Basel plus a goal, but I don't know.
I don't think they will. I just think the way Arsenal are playing, they're one of those teams, aren't they? A confidence team, Arsenal, and when they are in confident mood, they tend to brush sides like Basel away pretty handsomely. So we'll see.
Mm. Roger Federer will be upset. I think he's a Basel fan. I'm sure I've seen him tweet about it. If he's not, he might not care. Let's move on to the Europa League next. Then we'll start with Manchester United against Zoya. Manchester United 1-6. The draw 6-1. Zoya are 20-1. Manchester United have bounced back a little bit from a tough spell. They beat Northampton in the EFL Cup. They beat Leicester pretty impressively without Wayne Rooney. That's been a big talking point at the weekend. Zoya sit second in the Ukrainian Premier League. 5 points behind Shakhtar Donetsk, who we'll know plenty about from European competition. They've kind of come out of nowhere, though, Zoya. I don't know much about them, I must admit.
No, I wouldn't profess to be an expert on Zoya or what they've done in domestic competition. But in their last 11 European games, if you include the qualifiers, they've scored in 10 of those. Actually scored 20 goals in those 10 games as well. Admittedly, this has come against weaker opposition than Manchester United most of the time. They did draw with Fenerbahce in their first group game, though. So I'll be intrigued to watch this one and see how Zoya equip themselves here. You mentioned Wayne Rooney. Good for Jose Mourinho to rest him at the weekend, get him fully fit for this game against Zoya. They're actually unbeaten in 11 European games at Old Trafford, Manchester United, winning 8 of those and drawing 3. It's just a game that I don't know how to approach this game from a betting standpoint, in all honesty. You should allow me to veto one of these games, Mark Walton. You should allow me to. And this is the one I would, because do Manchester United care about this competition at all? I mean, Jose Mourinho said openly that this Europa League is a distraction for the club. They've just come off the back of that 4-1 win against Leicester City without Wayne Rooney, where they played with vibrancy and their attacking football was much quicker. They're 1-6 to win this game. I'm looking at the enhanced odds. I don't think Rashford or Pogba will start either.
You think Rooney starts?
I think Rooney must start, yeah. I think, because can you see any way that Wayne Rooney plays at the weekend?
Oh, is he? I don't know. Mourinho said he's not ruled him out completely.
Yeah, he's not ruled him out, but I think he's being diplomatic, really. How can you bring Wayne Rooney back into that starting lineup for a Premier League match after you've just dominated the champions in 45 minutes at Old Trafford? What justification would there be to change that side significantly by bringing Wayne Rooney back into the starting lineup? I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be amazed if Wayne Rooney started at the weekend. So I think he'll play in this game. One bet that I do like, I've mentioned that I want to veto this match, and I'm not interested in those outright odds. The bet that I like is Memphis Depay to score in the game. He's 8-5 to score in this game. 11-2 to score first. 11-2 to score last. There's a slight caveat here. He's not scored in ages, Memphis Depay. But his last two goals came against Midtjylland in this competition back in February. And he scored two at Old Trafford in August last year in this competition as well. Of the seven goals, he's only scored seven times for the club. Of those seven goals he scored, five of them have come in Europe, which is obviously a significant percentage. I think he enjoys playing in European-style matches because he's allowed more space in these games, and that suits him to pick up the ball from deep and run at players. So he's not adapted to the style of the Premier League. He's had success against weaker opposition like Zoya in European competitions. So I think 8-5, he will score in this game, in my opinion. And he's one of those players that you think is guaranteed a start in the game as well, because he's not seeing any or much Premier League football. So Memphis Depay to score would be my bet in this football match.
Okay. Just thinking out loud slightly, if this was Shakhtar Donetsk or Dynamo Kiev going to Old Trafford, would Manchester United still be 1-6? Because Zoya sit second in the table. They've only lost once this whole season. Are they just, you know, is there a way in you could think maybe Zoya plus two at 29-20 or something, thinking that the betting's just lopsided because not many people have heard of them?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think if you're going to play anything, if you're going to favour one side or the other, you've got to look at the odds, and Manchester United are too short at 1-6, so that's giving you a little bit of value on your handicap markets for the Ukrainian side. So Zoya plus two, 29-20, seems fair to me.
Yeah.
Could see Manchester United maybe edging this by the odd goal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on to the other one in the Europa League that we're going to look at. It's Southampton's away trip to Hapoel Beersheba. 11-5, the home side. The draw 11-5 as well. Southampton are 7-5. Southampton, four straight wins for them. Demolished West Ham at the weekend, Dave, although West Ham seem to have forgotten how to play football since moving to London Stadium. Do they continue their good form? I mean, they won their opening game in the Europa League pretty convincingly as well, didn't they? Beating Sparta Prague 3-0. So things looking pretty rosy for Southampton at the moment.
Yeah, I just think the situation's not good for Southampton here. Having beaten West Ham away from home in the Premier League on Sunday, they've got this game on Thursday, then they've got another away match against Leicester City on Sunday to come. So that's three consecutive away matches for Southampton. This is a long trip as well, over 3,500 kilometres to travel to Hapoel Beersheba, which is the...
What is it in miles?
I've got no idea. I only use the metric system nowadays. so I don't like the situation for Southampton. And I know that a lot of people will be sucked into the fact that they've won four consecutive games in all competitions and not conceded in any of those matches. But from what I've been reading about Hapoel Beersheba, there's an optimism surrounding the club at the moment. They've won all three of their European home matches at their new stadium, which is called the Turner Stadium. And they're unbeaten in five UEFA home fixtures as well. So they are going pretty strongly, Hapoel Beersheba. And they've won all five of their home games this season, all competitions, three in Europe and two in the Israeli Premier League as well. They won their first championship in Israel last year under their new boss, Barak Bakar, who was previously at the helm at Kiryat Shmona, where they won the cup, the Israeli Cup there in 2013-2014. He spent most of his career playing Bakar at Kiryat Shmona. So there's definitely a feel-good factor around Hapoel Beersheba at the moment. I keep questioning Southampton's wisdom for selling their best players and rebuilding every summer.
Yeah.
They seem to get away with it every single time. And Claude Puel's actually surprised me with the way he's organised this Southampton side after those indifferent results early in the season. They were convincing in their first group game, winning 3-0 against Sparta Prague. But I've got a feeling they might slip up here. I've just got a feeling they might slip up. And I think they just took advantage of a West Ham side that are devoid of any confidence or any defensive shape at the moment, West Ham.
Yeah, they were shambolic, weren't they?
See, I'm I'm subjected to watching all these West Ham games because my dad's a West Ham fan, and he always says, every time they're on telly, go and watch them. Go and watch them. I'm like, yeah, let's go and watch them. And last season, it was good. Mm. They were winning games at Upton Park. They were performing well away from home as well in the Premier League. This season, all the time is spent with my dad looking at what price they are once they've gone 1 or 2 nil behind in a football match and backing them. So not only is he upset that they're losing matches, it's hitting his pocket as well.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating watching West Ham at the moment. So I think Southampton just... it was like taking candy from a baby, really, that game at the London Stadium for Southampton. This is different. They might slip up in this game. I think it's a bad spot for Southampton to a certain extent. So I'll go with Hapoel Be'er Sheva to win the game. And Lucio Mariano is their new striker. Him to score and Hapoel Be'er Sheva to win was 4-1, enhanced to 6-1. I think he's a decent price to score any time in the match as well. This game is coming the day after his 28th birthday, Lucio Mariano. He's got 2-4 since arriving in the summer from Brazil. So I'm going to have a go on the enhanced odds again. Luciano Mariano to... it's not Luciano, is it? It's Lucio Mariano to score.
I'd say it's Lucio Maranhão, I'd say. Rather than Mariano.
No, and I've looked up the pronunciation of his
really?
Name. I have really. It's Mariano. That's how it's pronounced.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I looked that up. So I think it is anyway. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Email in.
No, I suppose if you were looking at it just purely from the spelling perspective here.
Yeah.
You'd say Lucio Mariano, perhaps.
Is he Brazilian or Portuguese or something?
Brazilian, he is.
Yeah, that's got to be Maranhão, hasn't it?
Maranhão.
Maranhão. Maranhão. Let's have a think. Like, you've got...
this is wonderful content.
It is. It is.
Producing here.
I'm just trying to think of players with a similar prefix. Like, suddenly non...
Ronaldinho.
No, that's
H-O. Not quite work.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Like, Salisiao is Brazilian for... the kind of football, isn't it? And it's spelt similar. And, well, I don't know.
I've literally watched one clip of him, and the commentator was going with Lucio Mariano, so that's what I went with.
Do you think?
But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Easily. But anyway, he's got a good chance of scoring. He's got 2-4 since arriving from Brazil, and he's part of the enhanced odds offer. Maybe have a look at him, but I think there's going to be an upset here. So Hapoel Be'er Sheva to win the match.
Okay. It's not even his name either, just looking further into it. It's called Lucielmo Palano Soares.
they never named their actual names, are they? That's that's the Brazilian way.
It is. yeah, okay. So that's a nice little sidetrack there. While we're on the subject of goal scorers and being able to not pronounce their names properly, there's a player for Southampton, Charlie Austin.
Yeah, he's doing well, isn't he?
He's
Charlie
playing
Austin.
Well, yeah. I just think he deserves a mention. If he plays, of course, they might rest him perhaps with the many away trips you mentioned, but 5-1, first or last, 9-5 anytime. 9-5 anytime, by the way, is in fine form.
I can't wait for the team news here because, as you mentioned, he might make wholesale changes, Claude Puel. I'm not sure where this competition ranks in order of priority.
Mm.
Obviously behind the Premier League, but I'm not sure how far behind the Premier League and whether or not he'll go into this game with a completely different lineup to the one that went to the London Stadium and beat West Ham so comprehensively at the weekend. Especially with that trip away at Leicester. If they want to keep that momentum going in the Premier League, he's got to make changes here. So I'm going with the upset.
Okay. Do you have a best bet, Dave? Anything you really like this week?
Is there anything I really, really like? Yeah, I'll stay with what I went with last time. I'll go with Manchester City to win and both teams to score and hope that Celtic get one in that game at 17-10.
Okay.
What do you like?
I really like the Son Spurs offer if he plays.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Heung-min Son to score, Tottenham to win, 5-1. Tempting.
Yeah, very tempting. I think Tottenham will win that game as well. Yeah. 7-5 for them to beat CSKA Moscow looks reasonable to me.
Mm. All right, superb. Good work, Dave. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Thank you, sir.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey!
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week. on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.